You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Parenthood After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Parenthood After Show.
May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others, let others do for you.
I love this intro. Bill loves this intro. He's dancing, too. What's up, everybody? We are here doing Parenthood. Welcome back. Season 5, Episode 5, Let's Be Mad Together. Hello, everyone. I'm Marissa Serafini, and with me, I have my lovely co-host. Welcome back,
Thank
Danica.
You. I am so happy to be back. I'm Danica Kennedy.
And I'm Tiana Hobson.
Awesome. Yes, we're all here again. I'm so
Yay.
Happy.
Sorry I missed last week.
Oh, no, no
and
worries.
And the week before.
And the week before. But I'm back.
But yes, we're finally back, and Parenthood, Thursday nights, it just makes me happy. What did you think of this episode? Overall, it seemed like a more serious episode, but it was still enjoyable.
We were talking about how this season in general is a little bit angrier than Tearjerker. Do you feel that way?
Agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of
lots of fighting.
High tension. And frustrations with
frustration.
Each other.
I was talking to a friend on Twitter earlier today, and I was like, I haven't... my cry count for Parenthood this season is zero. How is that possible? Tonight, Ryan almost got me at the end with his little speech. But other than that, that was the closest I've been to crying this season so far.
Yeah, I felt more bad for Max and Christina near the end of the episode, but we'll get to that. Let's just start with Crosby and Adam. They're at the luncheonette, and Adam, we actually start kind of the episode with Adam says, hey, I got the rights for the three All-American Rejects songs in exchange for Crosby's two-hour sessions in the recording studio. And Crosby's not too happy about that.
Yeah, that's 72 billable hours. That's a lot of money for them to not get, you know, especially at this point with the luncheonette. The status of their business is still new, and you know, 72 billable hours. I mean,
he should have confronted him first before doing it, but it worked out in the end, luckily. So I think it was a good move.
Oh yeah, and the fact that Crosby didn't really believe in Adam, like, I didn't believe you could do it, but he actually pulled it off, makes me question their business partnership. If one doesn't really trust the other or have enough faith in the other to do something.
Yeah, they make up for it. I mean, that happened later on with that same topic. Crosby acted like a little baby, stormed out ahead of time, and he was being extremely unprofessional. But the next day, when he came back to the recording studio, he made up for it. He brought in all these albums explaining these are amazing artists that didn't have all these fancy things fluffing up their albums, and they were amazing, and you guys are talented, and you don't need it.
Yeah, what do you think of the All-American Rejects coming back? I thought that was cool.
And the Ashes of Rome.
They're still being kind of divas in the recording studio.
Yeah, I think it was mostly Oliver. I think that was his name. But
the troublemaker.
Yeah, the troublemaker. The lead singers of bands are always the divas, you know, especially on TV shows. They're always the one acting out and wanting all these demands. Like, I want it to sound like, what did he say? It was...
Oh, I wrote it down. He was like, I want it Daft Punk, Kanye with a mix of T-Rex. And it's like, oh, okay. Like,
what does that even mean? What does that sound like in your mind? Please explain, elaborate. And I could understand Crosby's frustration because he is the music guy. I mean, he's already having issues with this band before they were even, you know, a part of their system. And now he has to deal with it even more.
Even more.
I mean,
he has to be the producer.
Yeah, he has to be the producer. I'd be a little... I probably wouldn't have had the best of spirits either working with them.
But you don't storm out like that, that unprofessional. I need to buy diapers for my baby. It's like, you're the baby.
Fighting with your business partner and your brother in front of your clients. They can actually see that. And we saw the lead singer kind of making fun of them. That they're arguing, that was very unprofessional, especially with your first big client and you're starting a business together or starting a label. You don't want that bad word getting out with the other bands if they want to sign anyone else.
I kind of feel like Adam started it. Adam could have been the one to say, hey, let's move this here, but Adam started it in the booth. So that's where it kind of had to happen at. So I'm kind of on Team Crosby at this point because he's frustrated with the band. They're not listening to him. They've been recording the same song for 3 weeks. And he's just like, look, it's fine. Like, I have a life and I'm not going to sit here and listen to this again when we already have it and he's never going to be happy. I kind of understood. I was Team Crosby on this. I thought he did kind of storm out, but he told them, hey, look, we got it. We're good. He left before he did anything really bad.
Yes.
Which is...
Agreed.
Adam's reaction was really funny. He was just like, 5 minutes.
I was like, oh God, is Adam going to try and like engineer this right now?
No.
Because that would be funny.
Happen. Yeah, and I can see where Crosby's coming from. He's frustrated, but the way he handled it was not professional. You don't storm out just like that. Oh yeah, yeah, I actually can leave, you know, just playing with that. That was...
Adam said... Like, basically treated him like a child and said, you're not allowed to leave here. They're equal partners in this business. You can't tell him. If someone told me I wasn't allowed to do something and I'm a grown adult, I'd be like, oh, yes, I can. Watch me as I go.
That's exactly what he did. Yeah, and ooh, I'm crossing over the door frame.
This is like, what do you do? You know, you're just like, I'm not touching you.
Oh, this door.
What? Open. So, but then Crosby kind of goes out and... talks with Joel a little bit, and we'll get into Joel's storyline, but he has this realization in the car when he's listening to music, and then he comes back to the studio, and you mentioned that the lead singer wanted, like, Daft Punk and T-Rex, but then Crosby comes back with all these old-school artists, big-name artists, Beatles, Nirvana, and who else? Springsteen, and they said that they made all these amazing records on
shoestring
budget, like made out of nothing.
It was just the talent, not over. It's
the talent, the creativity, and that's what they have, that the All American Rejects have, and that's what they sold them.
And I think that what Parenthood does so great is taking real life and putting it into there, because a lot of the music that's on the radio right now is overproduced and it's all theatrics, and you know, it's all this stuff where you think you need the Daft Punk and Kanye West with the Marvin Gaye, you know, melody underneath it, when all you really need is something simple. Sometimes that's all it takes, and they kind of, you know, put a real life situation into this and kind of brought it up.
It's refreshing in this day and age too, because everything on the radio is so overly computerized. It's all auto-tune, special effects. It's kind of nice to hear some real music.
Yeah, I'd like to hear singers' actual voice to see if they can actually sing.
It sounded like they could sing.
Yeah.
I mean, All American Rejects, we know that they can sing.
Yeah, exactly. So. That's what I'm saying.
Like, we got a little taste of that.
Hear it without all that other crap factoring in, and that's what Crosby wanted. He wanted just a smooth sound. So he's able to finally, he had to step away from the situation, get his composure, and then come back with, you know, in a nice way, lay out, like, this is what we're aiming for. You guys can achieve this, even though you're a butthead. He didn't say butthead.
he's willing to work with them.
Yeah, he's willing to work with them, and, you know, he is a good singer, so they can make something happen.
Exactly, and I love how, yes, Adam thinks the business side and gets the things done in that way, but then Crosby has the creative aspect to it, so that was nice how they finally just got to the agreement at the end and was like, all right, let's just make music.
Yeah.
So I just want to take a quick minute to thank everyone on iTunes for rating and commenting. We're getting all great comments, and also on YouTube as well. So please go onto iTunes, search AfterBuzz TV Parenthood Podcast, rate us 5 stars. We love 5 stars. And then let us know what we're doing good, what we're doing bad, and how we can improve on that. And tell us what you think of these crazy Bravermans. It's like, because they're all amazing, and we love talking about them. So please do that. All right, so let's get into Joel and Julia. They're having some problems lately, these
very
past
tense
few episodes.
Yeah.
I think we saw a little bit of a breaking point tonight with their relationship.
At least, yeah.
So Joel, he's working on his big contracting project and with Pete.
Who's too flirty with him.
A little bit, a little too forward, I think. But Pete's being kind of a problem maker. She's kind of indecisive, making all these decisions. No, we should change windows here and here. And just kind of taxing Joel's company and his men because they're overworking. And they're not getting any profit out of it because they're overworking and no one's paying for all these different adjustments that they're making to the project. And Julia brings up the fact that Pete might be taking advantage of you.
I think there is a little bit of taking advantage going on here. I think we've all, well, not all of us, but there's always situations where, you know, someone kind of tests to see how far they can kind of push you before you break. And I get that Pete is an architect and that it's a work in progress, but you kind of need someone like Julia in your corner who, you know, is the lawyer who's like, look, you need to be billing for this because it's not part of your original plan. Like, your bid is your bid, yes, but if the architect keeps changing things, then that changes your bid, and so you're going to have to go back for more money, or else they're going to lose that awesome house that they live in with their two kids. Just saying. They're going to end up moving back in with Zeke and Camille, which Zeke would love, but Camille would be like, no, I wanted a condo!
Ruining her life.
Oh, goodness. But so Pete's being all coy and being like, how about we discuss all these boundaries,
her vocabulary.
Quotes, boundaries, over dinner and martinis.
And
do you think that
it's not clear how she said it too? Like, let's go talk about our boundaries. It's like, do you mean the house? Do you mean us in our relationship? So he keeps dropping, oh, my wife, and then she's like, oh, is your wife saying this? Is
your wife
she
involved?
Running this? Is she involved? And then she even said something weird when they were at dinner about the whole wife situation. She was like, well, the marriage between us and our relationship over the next few years as partners. And then she kept going on. It's like, you don't just drop words like that with your business partner and get drunk with them.
No.
Especially if you're not on the clock and getting paid for it.
No, and your marriage. And I thought that was interesting how she threw a marriage in there. But like, well, you're also married to me now. And then I was like, I don't know.
No, it's not
that's
same.
That's shady.
I think this early in their relationship, it's a little soon to be calling it a marriage.
Exactly.
Right now, they're kind of dating because, like she said, their businesses are dating. Because, like she said, if this one goes well, then there'll be another one, and then there'll be another one, and like they can continue for years and years. So right now, they're still dating to see if they even like each other and if it's going to work. So don't call it a marriage yet.
And that was a fancy dinner date.
That was fancy.
That was way too fancy. I just kept thinking, oh no, someone's going to see them and tell Julia and she's going to
That's what I thought was going to happen. I thought someone else in the family was going to run into them.
Because, you know, if something happens to one person, everyone knows about it. Especially
knows.
With the Bravermans.
But I love drunk Joel.
Oh, my
goodness. Really funny.
That was so
Crosby
awesome.
Runs into him at the grocery store, and he's just staring at the cakes, super drunk. And they start talking, and Crosby obviously knows that he's been drinking. But he's like, how you feeling, buddy? Just, how's it going? And he's like, I've had a little to drink. Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm drunk.
Yes. Never looked at these cakes before. And then he eats just the corner of it drunkenly and leaves it on the counter. So the next morning, Julia's like,
he finds out.
So can you explain the cake? And he tries to come up with an excuse, and he's just like, I was drunk. He can't even.
Drunk Joel is.
Don't even
like,
try to lie with Julia. She's a lawyer. She can call your bluff at any moment.
And drunk Joel kind of reminds me of like a high person. Because at first I was like, wasn't he drinking? How'd he get stoned all of a sudden? Why is he staring at these cakes?
I thought the same thing.
Yeah, my question was like, how did he get to the grocery store? And I was like, did he drive there? And then they said it was across the street. I was like, okay, good. They're being responsible because I thought that was so out of character to Joel get drunk out in public, not really caring about himself.
He was
going to
have the cake soak up the alcohol. That's why he needed a cake. You know,
I
the
understand
bread,
that.
The moisture, you know, absorb it. He'd be fine to drive.
What did you guys think of Julia's reaction, though?
Not that we condone drunk driving. Condone or tipsy driving, for that matter.
Yeah.
Because Joel wanted to drive tipsy. No. That is a definite no.
He could have found a spot in the grocery store. They have those lawn chairs. Could have sat down, taken a quick nap.
The lawn chairs.
Ate his cake and sobered up.
But that was funny how Crosby, the probably the best person to run into to help that situation, be like, all right, yeah, I totally got your back. I'll drive you back. And then they had that realization in the car. And then, yeah, the whole cake. That cake looked good, and they said it was bad. I'm sorry. I was like, oh, that's a wasted cake.
I liked how he was playing with it the next morning. When he's him like, and Julia were talking, he's like, yeah, I was drunk. And then she's asking him how the talk went and everything. He's just kind of like picking at it. And I was like, is he going to eat it? Like, does he remember that it tasted bad? Is he going to try it again and be disappointed? Or what's going on here?
Yeah. What did you guys think of her reaction, though, when she was like, I'm not mad. I'm not mad. But when people say they're not mad, they're mad. And you can tell. Yeah.
You know she's mad, but she's trying her...
I hate when people do that.
Yeah, but she's trying her best to not overstep her boundaries. Because in the beginning of the episode, she's kind of inserting herself, and Joel's getting a little peeved already. And then we saw the second time when Julia was trying to step in, then he just got mad and walked out. So I think Julia just being the good wife and knowing her boundaries in her marriage, mm-hmm. she just, like, stepped away, and she was the adult in that.
I thought she was going to flip out. I'm proud that she didn't, though.
Yeah. But there are some problems brewing.
Yeah, because it seems like they need to have an actual conversation, because each time it's kind of building up, and then Joel, you know, gets to his boiling point, screams something out, and then it's just over. And then you have Julia talking to her dad and just trying to be, like, your wife should be heard. You know, we're in this together. We're partners. So, you know, the wife's point matters too. And she should have a say in what things are done, how things are done, and what's said, and mm-hmm. all that. So it's clear that she has some things that she should be talking to him about, regardless of how mad he gets. They need to sit down and actually have this conversation before it's too late, because you keep sweeping it under the rug, and one day you have, like, a mound of emotions, and where does that leave you?
That's why this show is so real. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's so close to my family, how it's like, oh, you guys just need to learn how to communicate, and then you'll figure it out.
Right.
But I think every family has that issue, and that's why this show is so relatable.
Yeah, and it's happening to everyone. It's even happening to Camille and Zeke.
Mm-hmm. And nice transition.
There you go. Thank you. And so they're still on the rocky side, too, because Zeke wants to stay back at home, not go anywhere. Camille wants to sell the house. And we had this realtor person just come over, pop pictures. I was like, is that allowed?
Did Camille invite her over, or did she just show up? Because Zeke said she's Camille's, back.
Yeah.
And then Camille kind of was cool with it, but the lady never said, she was like, oh, I should have introduced myself. And I don't know, it was just weird how she kind of came into the picture.
But she was there for a purpose, because the realtor said that she just sold a house mm-hmm. that was sold for 30% above the asking price, and it was a house not as grandeur as Zeke and Camille's house. So that just laid it out that if Zeke and Camille sold their house, they would make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Enough money
to go travel.
I feel bad for Camille. I'm so on Team Camille for this whole situation. Especially lately, I've had this, like, travel bug where I just want to go out mm-hmm. and explore.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell she's just like, oh, I'm so over being here. We've lived here for so long. And, yeah, we have amazing memories, but I haven't even been out of the country. She had a great conversation with Julia about how she felt. And in that scene, they were baking cookies, and I'm so sad those cookies were never made. They made me extremely hungry.
There was a lot of sweets in this episode.
They were going to be really big cookies, too. That was a lot of jokes. Yeah, she was scooping those things huge. Like, ooh.
Well, you know, she probably got used to and conditioned to bake, you know, a whole bunch of cookies for a whole army.
Yeah.
Having that family. But besides cookies, I mean, even though they did look good, that, so Julia was told by Camille that they're having problems. Camille just kind of lets it loose and reveals that little secret that's going on between them. And then Julia tries to tell Zeke about it because Camille's afraid that she doesn't have a voice in their relationship anymore. What do you think about that? That's kind of sad. They've been together so long. You think Camille and Zeke would be on the same, they would have the same power in of a relationship. They'd be on the same ground.
You'd think that, but it doesn't seem that. I can see, you know, last episode we learned, you know, that Camille didn't get to go see the world. Zeke's already done that with his service, you know, time and everything. So, I mean, they're just at different places, and I think that Zeke will eventually realize that he needs to at least give her a voice, and at least, even if you're not, even if you don't end up doing it, at least going through the motions.
Just listen.
Yeah, just listen. Just go look at the condo. You don't have to like the condo. You don't have to sign the paperwork that day. Just go look at it.
He's too close-minded. Yeah, and that doesn't take long. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that doesn't take long. You could go to a condo in a half an hour, 1 hour to check it out. Not even that. Not that I would know. But I'm sure it doesn't take that long to just check out locations just to make Camille happy, feel like she has a say in the relationship. But I think Zeke is just too bold, and he doesn't want to.
He has his foot down hard.
Yeah, very stubborn, very stubborn.
When Camille was, you know, kind of venting to Julia about this, in the end of that conversation, she was like, we can't all be perfect like you and Joel, or she said something about that, and she didn't really open up back about her problems, and I kind of wanted her to. I'm like, oh, that would have been such a good heart-to-heart for those characters to vent to each other and get advice on how to handle the situations. But, you know, that's kind of how families are. You're not going to tell your mom everything about your problems with your husband coming home drunk with cake. Like, you don't always do that.
No. And then Julia just found out that her parents aren't really great together right now. That the last thing she wants to tell Camille is that, oh, we're having problems too.
Yeah.
So I can understand why she kept her mouth shut on that. But, yeah, so that didn't turn out too well. I hope they finally resolve this.
Yeah.
I hope Zeke just comes through and just compromises a little bit.
Yeah, but I don't want them to go anywhere before they finish that car, just because
it's helping Victor.
It's helping Victor so much. He was so excited to come over with his grandpa and work on the car, and, you know, he wasn't ready to leave. So I really hope that they at least can finish the car before they have to go anywhere.
I think they will.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, they might have to start working on it a little bit longer after school just to make up for time, but
I don't feel like the Bravermans are going anywhere, because they're going to want to keep them in all the episodes with that set.
Oh, totally. Yes. So, and we have more about the set later in our news and gossip, so stay tuned. Victor's finally reading a little bit better. Carburetor, that's a big word.
That is a big word.
For a fourth grader. He's a fifth grader.
Fifth grade, yeah.
Yeah, but so the car is good and bad. It's helping Victory, but it's a dent in Camille and Zeke's relationship. So I think once the car is done, everything will be resolved. Victor can read, and they're happy.
Fix the car.
Use the money to travel. Go on vacation without selling the home.
Or just drive the car around instead of
road trip.
All right, so let's get into Max and Christina. We see Max, he's going through the halls at his school. I think he's in high school now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's getting older. I was like, wow, he's in high school already. Taking photos for the yearbook with his nice film cam that Hank gave him, just getting candid snapshots of real moments. And then he ends up taking a photo of a girl who's obviously distraught, crying in the hallways, and the girl gets really upset, be like, no, leave me alone, this is very rude of you. And unfortunately for Max, because he's autistic, he doesn't pick up on those social cues, and he doesn't understand social behavior, that's not right. It doesn't get across his mind that that's wrong. So what do you think of that? Do you think Max understands the seriousness of taking a photo during those bad moments?
I don't think he understands the seriousness, but this topic really hits home for me, because I went to an arts high school where I went to school with a lot of really artistic and creative people that remind me of Max. They're not the normal people you'd meet all the time. And people would do all sorts of crazy artwork, no matter how offensive or whatever it was, just however they feel. And I think it's good to have a creative outlet, whether it's that cookie cutter, whatever everyone else wants for the yearbook or not. I think he should be in some sort of art club, keep doing it, But yeah, for the yearbook, you don't want your yearbook picture to be of you crying.
No.
Yeah. By the way, the girl crying was not working up the tears enough for me. Like, her crying was not good enough for parenthood crying. Like, we do a lot of crying on this show.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah.
So she wasn't working it up for me. Not that Max's picture was bad.
But I think we found out that the girl was upset that her family dog had died. That's yeah. sad. I mean, I can really understand if you're crying about a loss of a dog.
Of course.
I get it. But I think that Max shouldn't be, I agree that he shouldn't be in a yearbook class just because yearbook isn't going to be the kind of photography that he wants to do anyways. Mm-hmm. The only thing that could have helped me are for the situation. They did say, no, stop taking our picture. So that's
Max
like
kept
cute.
Doing
yeah,
it.
And that's when it went too far, like in this situation, was because they said no. Everyone else he walked up to, you know, it's like, oh, we weren't wearing our lip gloss. And he's like, I'm just taking real pictures. You know, you're walking by, snap a picture. Photographers take pictures of people in moments of grief all the time. And they're, you know, some of the greatest pictures, you know, that are up in museums and stuff. So I'm not saying that you can't take pictures of strangers, but, you know, if someone asks you to stop, then
and
that's
you
when
kept
you,
doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, then that's when you kind of have
it's like
to.
Like evil paparazzi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go away.
There's totally a paparazzi on Max's part. So he upsets the girl to the point where she gets her parents involved, tells the teacher and the principal that happened, and they want to move Max to layout on the yearbook, taking no more photos, but moving to the layout part. If you think on the bright side of it, would be actually good for Max. Because, one, he can choose whatever photos you use in the yearbook, because I was on yearbook committee, so I just know how this happens. You can choose whatever photos you want. And because Max is so good with patterns and visualization, layout is like you visually figure out where things are placed in. It would be really good for Max.
Especially since he's already good at photography, he could use that later on also. I think the whole yearbook thing just doesn't really fit with him, though, in general, because yearbook's about, you know, who's popular, who got best hair, the cheerleader pictures,
so
all that
true.
Jazz. It's so all true. Like, it's a popularity contest for people to sign your yearbook to have memories later on in life. He's not that kind of guy. I think he needs to be hanging out with Hank, who's also probably autistic like him, that gets him.
And they can
just create art together, or he can join an art group or club.
I think working with Hank would be great, and maybe having a showcase of his work in Hank's studio would be good for him, because, you know, you'd have people who would actually appreciate the artistic things, elements in his photography.
Or help Hank on his photo shoots.
Yeah.
You know, so he can learn the production aspect of it. And it was nice to see Hank in this episode too. He also kind of agreed with Max, being like, no, these are great photos. Composition, the lighting, they're all amazing.
Yeah.
And I don't think it went through Hank's mind that that was wrong too.
Yeah. And the only one part when we were watching that scene together, Hank did not help out at all with, you know, trying to help ease this information onto Max and be like, you know, what you did was wrong. And he's like, no, it wasn't. Come on, you're an adult in this room.
They really are the same.
Person.
He would have done the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm. So I thought that was funny and interesting how they threw Hank in. I'm like, Hank, you're not helping.
Yeah, not in the least bit.
And I love Hank's character, though. There's always, like, that dry person that just says what they think and whatever they think
so
is right.
So deadpan about it.
Yeah.
I love it.
And so Christina, like she always does, tries to get herself involved and speak up for Max, because Max can't really do that for himself. And Christina's like, oh, no, I'm sorry this all happened. And we actually find out that this happens a lot more often than we think, because they mentioned that Max took photos at a basketball game or at some school game one time, and he was on the court when he was not supposed to. So it makes me wonder how many other times and situations this has happened without our knowledge.
Yeah, because and then when she was talking with the principal, he said, you know, that the only reason it worked with Max being president was because he was in charge, but he had to put out a lot of fires. Mm-hmm. And Christina's sitting here like, why wasn't I aware of this? Why didn't anyone say anything? And that's kind of I mean, I understand her point. If people have been telling her that she's thinking that things are going great and that Max is doing good and adjusting well and this is so great for him, and then you have the principal and the teacher being like, actually, it's not, because boom, 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 when she should have been made aware of all these situations as they were happening.
Do you feel like Christina was a little too intense going back a second time trying to get him on yearbook?
I think that was so Christina.
Like, Christina is so relentless that she'll do anything to help someone who thinks is being treated unfairly.
Yeah.
It's very her, but I just... when moms get too involved and you're in high school, it's like, oh, you're so annoying. Like,
yeah,
just drop it. Like, you know your kid's weird. And then she and you know he's going to have issues.
Yeah, and then bringing in the principal, like, oh, well, I already talked to the teacher and he said no. So now you're trying to kind of go around the teacher
by getting the principal there. Don't you have a campaign to worry about other stuff?
I was kind of glad we took a break from the campaign.
Same here. I was just going to say the same thing.
Too much. We're getting back to the family. Love it.
But so... Christina has the unfortunate news to tell Max that he's got demoted, he's on layout now, and they have a really sad moment at the end of the episode that they're both mad. I think they're more because Max keeps saying, I'm really mad right now, but we've seen Max act out and lash out in anger. I think Max was more hurt than he was mad.
Yeah.
And they showed that tonight with complete silence.
It made him more mature, though. He wasn't throwing a huge tantrum, and it made it have more of an effect. It made it a sadder moment because of it.
Yeah, and I think it made the audience realize that this really does happen to anyone. Well, especially Max, because he's autistic, that even though he can't fully grasp the concept of why this is happening, it does happen, as unfortunate and unfair as it is.
I like how Christina was mad with him and sat with him angrily, and then she tried to comfort him, and he was like, just moved his leg all quick.
No, but all the more real, all the more real. So, of course, we can't forget about Sarah and Ryan and Amber tonight. So we get Sarah being the super duper super. I don't know who the heck made her a super. I want to know, like, who thought it was a good idea to have Sarah as a super. I still don't believe it. But her neighbor, Carl.
The lawyer, right?
Is he a lawyer?
I think he is. A sleazy lawyer that sleeps around and flushes condoms down the toilet.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Oh, my God. So, yeah, his toilet's clogged, and Sarah tries that snake thing. Doesn't work. Ends up breaking the toilet. And gets Ryan to help fix it. But then Sarah and Ryan have a really awkward conversation. Sarah thinks that Ryan's there to talk about Amber and where Sarah's stance is. Like, she has all these insecurities about Ryan. And Ryan's just there to fix the toilet.
Joel sent him over. Yeah. What an awkward moment.
So awkward.
She's like, oh, I didn't know, like, about this, and going on and on about family stuff, and he's like, I'm here for the toilet. Which, by the way, that scene, when it first opened and I saw her holding the snake in front of the toilet, I turned to Tiana and I was like, this is gonna be bad, because she's so clumsy. You know it's gonna be a scene.
And it was.
All the more better.
I didn't know that there was a snake tool to help unclog. I was like, isn't that what plungers are for?
I've heard of, you know, oh, we're going to have to snake the drain, but I've never seen anyone attempt it, and I know not to do it on a toilet now.
I think we all know.
Not try at home, kids.
I know to just call the plumber as soon as
it's called the plunger people.
But they tried the plunger, and it didn't work. Mm. And so that's where she came in with her snake.
Yeah, and they find prophylactics in there, condoms. Oh, that was awkward. Even more awkward.
Yeah.
And then because Carl is over at Sarah's place using her shower because his bathroom's trash now.
And she's eyeing him. Well, she gave him like a little...
I think she was kind of checking me out, but trying to pass it off like, no, I'm not into you, but this is awkward because you're shirtless in my apartment.
Yeah.
Well, we know that Carl's there for to be the new love interest for Sarah.
Or at least flirtatorship right now.
Nothing happening yet.
Flirtationship.
Not yet. But I think their relationship's still awkward now, knowing that he flushes condoms down the toilet.
But, I mean, is that really awkward when we think about Sarah and her relationships?
I mean, she has some weird relationships.
Yeah, she has some weird.
Yeah, you know, but I think that for Sarah, it's normal. For everyone else in the world, it's kind of like, this is awkward knowing this about this guy now.
If
but
he was perfect, it would be weird for yeah her. Like, why is he with her? She's so clumsy with
why
that
does he
snake
throw his condoms in the trash can?
I know,
like
it's called
people
the garbage people.
I mean, gosh,
hiding
the
evidence.
You don't flush it down the toilet. Goodness. But yeah, and so Ryan fixes it, but Ryan's having some troubles with Sarah too because Sarah's questioning it, getting Amber involved, being like, your mother is not really trusting me right now. And then they kind of have a little tryst going
but
on.
We almost got by without being too bad.
We were actually very proud of Ryan because he got angry, but he didn't storm out. He didn't throw anything.
Nope.
He didn't crash
wall
the car.
Punching.
There's no wall punches. So he has grown over the past year of the relationship. It's like, okay, this is where they started out where, you know, you get angry, you storm out, you go get drunk, you crash a car. Now it's you stay here, you're angry, you might be silent, but you're angry and then you end up going and confronting and like just opening up.
He's still scary when he's mad, though.
Yeah, I'm still kind of like scared.
Like, knowing what he's capable of
is
scary. But Ryan, he was the man, and he went up to Sarah at the end of the episode. Sorry. At the end of the episode, saying, I didn't have any family like yours. That his father died when he was 11. His mom remarried to an a-hole. Who,
6 months later.
Yeah, really fast. And, like, not the greatest male figure in his life who kind of condoned corporal punishment when he was still mourning. So having that, we finally get a little bit backstory of Ryan,
mm-hmm.
which makes everything make more sense.
Yeah, I'd still like to meet them, but it was nice hearing about them. At least for the moment.
Sarah kept saying, you don't have to explain, or something like that. Like, you don't need to have an explanation. It's like, yes, you do. Mm-hmm. You're complaining and asking so many questions all the time. He does need to explain it to you, even though he hates talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, he answering questions.
Yeah, it's like he shouldn't have to answer them to her, but because Sarah is Sarah, he does have to explain it to her. And she's like, no. And
she
keeps like,
actually, at it.
Yeah, she's
I have
so
to because your relationship with your daughter isn't getting any better because you're asking these questions. So here it is, all for you.
Yeah. All of them are pretty relentless as a family.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And especially near the beginning of the episode when Sarah called Joel. And then Joel was like, what are the boundaries on your sister? And Julia was like, her, you just help. It's like, you don't question or set in her, you just help her.
Yeah, and when Julia and Zeke were talking, and Julia starts, you know, going about how, you know, the wife should have a say, and she tells Zeke that Camille told her about the problems, he says that, okay, now you're intruding. I was like, oh, wow. Whoa, now we're trying to set boundaries for the family, Zeke, because
all
you intrude on everyone, and everyone in that family intrudes on everyone else. So
the whole family was brought up that way to know everybody else's business.
Exactly.
That's nothing new.
It's nothing new. So I was like, why are you saying that she's intruding now? Now you want to set that boundary?
It's because he just doesn't want to talk about moving and he just is putting his foot down without.
And he turns it on her. Be like, nope. So
too bad.
Yeah, so, but Ryan, going back to Ryan, he finally explains himself and his background and his family, but the thing he says was so sweet and sincere. I'm like, all right, Ryan, you can marry Amber. I give you my permission to be a part of this family.
I love that all she said in response to the whole thing was okay.
Lots of okays.
There were so many okays in this episode. I want someone, if you have time, if you're bored.
Drinking
game. Every time they say okay, take a drink, because in one scene between Crosby, the singer, and Adam, I'm pretty sure in one scene they said it 15 times.
It's because there's so much tension going on that people are yelling at each other, and whoever's getting it just has to be like, okay.
Yeah. And I feel like just during the acting, I'm not exactly sure how the production aspects goes, but it feels like a lot of these scenes are just free-flowing, and they just go and say whatever does come up on their mind, kind of a little bit of improvisation.
Yeah.
Like, that's a normal conversation that's just going on. People are going to say okay over and over again. So I think that's just the real acting part. But anything else with this episode? Did we cover everything?
I think we did.
I think so.
Awesome. So let's get into some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV
News. There we go. So we got, I was checking Twitter this whole week from the Parenthood cast, and they had a lot of fun pictures that I'd like to show. If you're not, if you're listening on iTunes, you should definitely check out our website and also go on YouTube and check out the photos, but we'll post them there. But I just want to read a little bit of the, some of the tweets that were sent out by the cast. So the first one, sent by Dax Shepard, on October 22nd, he tweeted out, "Amazing race weekend in the Lamborghini that the Super Trofeo Series, the two second place finishes," and he posts a picture of a car. And I guess he drives really, he drives this kind
pretty
of cars and races.
I love his hashtags. Yes. Hashtag direct brag, hashtag humblest brag. Yes. At least he's being honest.
Yeah,
that,
very,
that he's totally glowing. That's it. Right,
it's a pretty sick car, too.
That's
so
really cool. I want to drive one of those.
And then next we have, I love the conversations that they have on, on Twitter. Mae Whitman tweets to Lauren Graham, "Guys, Lauren Graham is literally the best actor that has ever walked the earth. That is all." And then Lauren Graham replies to back to May, "Dear Shirley, I'm nothing without you. Love, Laverne."
Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, it was so great.
Cute.
And I just love the two generations that are going on, because May, the way she said it, is like so young. And then the way Lauren said it is like so old school. I don't know. I find that really cute. And then third one from Lauren Graham. She posts a picture of Mae Whitman in, like, a face mask, obviously posed, reading a Star magazine. And she tweets, "Stars, they're just like us." So that was really, that's funny.
That's funny.
And then next we have Sam Jaeger. He tweets, because Parenthood, as we know, shoots on the Universal lot.
There it is, Courthouse Square.
There's the Courthouse Square where they shoot, where they film the famous Back to the Future scene. And so Sam posts a picture of him on a makeshift skateboard. Save the clock tower. And then also Sam posted a Twitter picture, another one, which I thought was cool because we saw a little bit of the cast, working the late shift with Dax Shepard, Real Joy Bryant, and Erica, and the awesome Craig T. Nelson. And it looks like they're in a hotel room or something, just having fun. Late night shift. That seems like a shift everyone would want to work.
Yeah.
And then we also have awesome set photos from our lovely Danica. So,
yes.
Danica, why don't you talk about them?
So, I just love showing kind of behind-the-scenes stuff, because I don't know how you guys feel at home, but I feel like the Bravermans are my real family.
Oh, totally.
And they live in a real house in Berkeley, California. But that is not the case at all. It is so unbelievably fake. And you can see in the pictures that we have up, you know, there's no ceiling. I mean, most shows, there's no ceilings. But they just do such a good job on the show with the set decorating. It looks like an old house that they grew up in. Everything's kind of worn out. And they have so many little details about the characters. Like, all the books would be things that Zeke read. You know, all the art is done by Bonnie Bedelia, because she paints in real life. And she's a painter character on the show as Camille.
That's awesome.
It shows just a little bit about the set and really how fake it is. They can get rid of all the walls. They're all wild walls because there's so many family members that they have to squeeze into the scene. So,
definitely.
Of course, choreographing all of them too with the cameraman. So a lot of the walls can be taken out. And I mean, the lighting's great too. You know, they're having coffee in the kitchen in the morning. It looks like it's 6 a.m. The sun's rising.
How comfy are the couches?
You know,
sat on them
pretty
yet?
Comfy. Pretty comfy.
I'd love to check out the set.
They seem very lived in. But I just wanted to share some behind-the-scenes stuff.
That's amazing, because you're eyes magic. And ears, on the actual set. And these are photos of Christina and Adam's house, right?
Yes. Yeah, not a real working bathroom.
No.
Oh, too bad.
Darn.
Don't use it.
Darn. No emergency bathroom breaks there.
No.
And Tiana, you have some news, too.
Yes, I have some ratings news for everyone. So Parenthood from last week is up week to week by 8%, which is good.
Yay.
Nice.
And by 5% in total viewers. So 8% in the 18 to 49 bracket and 5% in total. It's also up 30% versus NBC's average in this time period last season. So I forget what show they had running on Thursday nights at 10, but clearly the switch to Thursday nights and them going up against Scandal and stuff, ratings are still doing very good. And from its first half hour to its second, Parenthood maintained 100% of its 18 to 49 year old demographic, which is very hard to do.
That's awesome.
Because most people start tuning into other things that have started. So that's really awesome. Good news on the ratings. Peter Krause was on Access Hollywood Live, yesterday, I believe it was. He talked a little bit about his relationship with Lauren Graham and how they've been dating for 4 years. And no one on the cast and crew really knew about it for the first year.
4 years?
They've been together for 4 years.
Almost
the whole time.
Yeah, the first two seasons, I could kind of sense that something was going on between them during the interviews and everything backstage press and whatnot. And so, but they finally came out.
Yeah.
Officially.
So, 4 years, and he said that, you know, for the first year, it's a private life situation, so we keep it private. And so they didn't really tell anyone that they were working with. So, I mean, I guess, you know, little sneak here and there at craft services, like a hand graze here.
That makes it more
fun. A subtle
fun.
Eye glance, you know, it's kind of exciting and mysterious. I love it.
It's romantic at the craft service.
Yeah. He also talked about how his character Adam is the perfect father and husband. And he started talking about his own father who passed away 2 years ago. And it seems like his father had some issues that he had to work through. But he says that Adam is kind of devoted to his father because it honors his dad because his dad wanted to be the best husband and father that he could be to his three kids, even though it was a struggle for him daily. So he kind of does this role thinking of his father. You can check out the whole interview on AccessHollywoodLive.com. Billy Bush also gives him a very awkward hug at the end of the interview. It's hilarious. And then the last bit of news and gossip I have is from an article from TV Guide, Ask Matt, where Matt Roche answered a fan question about why we haven't seen Hattie this season and no one has really mentioned her. And so he said that he agrees that Adam and Christina should at least mention her once in a while, especially since Christina's running for office. But one of the reasons we're only going to see her sparingly, if at all, is because of the budget. And few shows that have been on air this long also have a cast this large. So with a cast this big and it's been on for this many seasons, there's renegotiations going on of salaries and budgets and whatnot. So sometimes you have to kind of give and take. So hopefully we'll get to see a little bit of Hattie with the election coming up. But sadly, she won't be around for long.
I wonder, is it because her character was the easiest to get rid of because she was going off to college?
I'm like, why her out of all of them?
Yeah,
I assume that's probably the easiest. I mean, we already don't see Jabbar, you know, as often, you know.
Yeah, but we know Mae Whitman and Sarah Ramos still do hang out together and do videos. And also, another thing to my news, there was a video that just recently got released last week. Mae Whitman was part of the Rachel Antonoff Spring 2004 Ready to Wear music video. Just a video that has... It was kind of made in the drunk history kind of format where they're lip syncing a funny story that's going on. But the video consists of a girl and a guy, and they're just recanting the story of how they met and all the crazy friends that are in it. And Mae Whitman is actually in the video. She plays a short college guy in the video. Very quirky humor. And she was also the AD. The first AD on the video too, and it has a few other people in the video too. So, and it was promoting the fashion designer Rachel Antonoff spring collection. Which I didn't realize because every character was wearing the clothes that she designed, but it was the whole video was based off this story that we're telling. So it was cleverly a way to show off all of the. Her fashion line. So we'll tweet out the link for that to check out Mae Whitman in that video. It's actually really funny.
I have to watch that.
And then, of course, the last bits of news that we cannot forget. Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell are officially married.
Yay.
So cute.
They're adorable together. They've been engaged for 3 years now, and they went to the Beverly Hills County Clerk office to pick up a marriage license, and they decided to just get married on the spot.
So casual.
Yeah.
I love it. I feel like that's what Crosby would do in real life.
Totally a Crosby move.
I feel like he is Crosby in real life.
Oh, yeah, totally. So, that's so good for them. And they have a child together, and they're all one big happy family.
Yay, congrats.
So that's it for news and gossip. Let's go into some predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay. Danica, we'll go with you first.
All right. So I think that Zeke and Camille are going to have a real conversation about the whole house selling thing. I think that they are not going to sell the house, but Camille is going to get him to go on a fun, adventurous vacation or something exciting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I like that. I don't know what to predict. So I'm going to let Marissa talk.
Well, we see Joel and Julia, their relationship's a little bit rocky, and I hate to say this.
Don't say it.
I hate to say this. I think there might be a little bit of a separation going to go on. Even though they just adopted a new child into the family, things are going to get worse before they're going to get better.
That's true.
For them. And I think Zeke will finally compromise. Or Camille will just, like, up and leave for a short amount of time and just go travel on her own.
You know what? Go ahead. Do it, girl.
Might as well.
You don't need no man to go travel with. Do it on your own.
Do it on her own.
And I think just based off the previews for next week, clearly Sarah and Ryan's talk didn't last long because Sarah's still voicing her opinions all over the place and things don't look like they're going too well with the wedding planning. So hopefully that was just all a poise to kind of make us think one thing. But hopefully everything will work out and Sarah will be at her daughter's wedding.
I have another Sarah prediction.
All right, go for
it. I think she's going to hook up with that guy that's her tenant. And I think that something awkward's going to happen with Hank and her and that guy. Like, he's going to walk in on them or, like, they're going to be on a date and some weird Hank-Sarah moments will be happening again. Hopefully. Because I want that.
There's yes. There's so many people to talk about in this amazing show. It could go anywhere.
Yeah. And I want to, we talked about this earlier, I want Max to have a photo show, a gallery opening or something at, like, Hank's with his work displayed. I think that would be good for Max.
All right. So I think that's it for this episode. Where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Danica Kennedy.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at The Tiana Hobson.
And you can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at Serafini TV. You can follow all of us here at AfterBuzz, at AfterBuzz TV on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And thank you, Phil, for engineering. We will see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.